I've been asked to keep it to 3 minutes, which is, for me, not likely. But first, I want to address you, Ellie, and Jay, and Stacy. Often, Ellie, you thank me and Dickie Moore, and maybe we haven't had enough opportunity or taken the opportunity to thank you, because I don't know how to tell you how much we appreciate having been invited into your family for the last 25 or 30 years. So it's not only what has been done for you, but you've done a lot for Dickie Moore, for myself, for Mitch Melnick, for a number of others, by allowing us entrance into your family. My heart and the hearts of all the people here today, even though we're remembering Ted for his humor, for his showmanship, for his legacy in Montreal, but our hearts truly are with you and with your family. In April of 1995, a broadcasting icon died at the age of 77 of a heart embolism after a few years of battling ill health. He was a Jewish, bombastic, educated, intelligent beyond his peers, and opinionated broadcaster. He was a showman. He was a crusader against racism and inequality. He was an aficionado of the sweet science of boxing. Fans loved him, or fans loved to hate him, but he could not be ignored. Every young sports fan at some point, either alone, in front of a mirror, or into a portable tape machine, did an imitation of him. He went nowhere without his wife Emmy of 54 years, and once said that I wouldn't cross the Triborough Bridge without her. Fans swarmed him on the street and shouted his name everywhere he walked. Yet his fellow broadcasters, for the most part, shunned him and didn't understand what all the commotion was about. HBO made a documentary of his life entitled Telling It Like It Is. This icon was the great Howard Cosell. Like Cosell, my friend Ted Teevan was a Jewish, bombastic, intellectual showman. He influenced a generation of sportscasters and a generation of listeners. Fans loved him or loved to hate him, but he could not be ignored. Every one of us, at some point, tried to imitate him with a "you're gone" or a 790. Ted Teevan created a vocabulary that is in its fourth decade. We all only know Savvy Street. We only know what a straight arrow is. And a mooch is a mooch because of Ted Teevan. 4 decades later, we remember King's transfer van lines, Jerry O'Donnell and all the King's men, Dorian Suit, Chinois. Ted Teevan was a branding genius, and none of us realized it. Like Cosell, people shouted his name and ran to him on the streets, unlike any sportscaster in our city. Like Cosell, he went nowhere without his Ellie, his wife and partner of 52 years. Ellie and I have had the same joke for 20 years. Ted and Ellie incorporated a small company, which they operate out of their home, called Weldon Productions, Ellie's name. And each time I call the house, Ellie answers the phone, Weldon Productions. And I say, can you please give me the marketing and PR department? Hold for a moment, sir, she says. And on comes Ted, marketing and promotions. I said, I'm sorry, I must have made a mistake. I was looking for accounts payable. Hold for a moment. Ellie comes back on the phone. Ted comes back. Accounts payable. Hi, Ted. The National Film Board of Canada are making a documentary about Ted, which we should all be anxiously awaiting. Finally, like Cosell, Ted was largely shunned by his media colleagues. They simply didn't get him. They either didn't understand him, or they were jealous of the attention. But either way, like Cosell, Ted did it his way, and largely alone. But today is the crowning achievement of Ted's illustrious career. Ted knew he was an icon, and Ted knew he was a showman. Ted truly believed that any publicity was good publicity. Anytime my name appeared in the newspaper, or someone like Mitch mentioned my name on the air, I would get a call from Ted. Garbs, name mention. Garbs, Jay just called. Name mention on CBC. Garbs, call Mahovlich. Tell him last night, 2 name mentions on my show. And name mention became engraved in my head. Once I called Ted upset because something negative was written about him in the Montreal Gazette. Ted said, Garbs, it doesn't matter what they write. Name mention. So why is today the crowning achievement of Ted's career? because as much as Ted knew he was a legend and an icon in our city, the city that he dubbed the City of Champions, the city that he adopted and bled for, he needed for his peers to say it or write it, as they had not done for the last 40 years. And now, the word icon is attached in print to his name forever, and he can rest in peace. Thank you, Earl Zuckerman, Dave Stubbs, Stu Cowan, Ted Bird, Randy Thiemann, Bill Brownstein, Ron Fournier, Mitch Melnick, Aaron Rand. You don't know how happy you would make Ted by the things that you've written and said in the last days. Ted would be thrilled and not surprised to see Howard Grant and Howard's mom here, to see Bobby White, Norman Marshall, Paul Grafe, Mitch Melnick, Brent Pierce, Graham Mitchell, Dean Agopian. Ted talked about Dean Agopian for the last 30 years. If Ted knew one thing, it's that everyone whose name ends in I-A-N is Armenian, and he learned it from Dean Agopian. There are thousands of people who now know that because of Ted Teeven. Jim Bay, Ron Francis, and Dick Irvin. Ted would love that you were here, Dick. It would mean a lot to him that you are at his funeral paying respect. Ted is the last of a generation. There is no present or future generation of young people that will sleep with a transistor radio next to their beds, that will fall asleep to real talk radio, that will go to school the next day only to talk about the previous night's show. How many mornings started with, "Did you hear Teeven last night?" That is the stuff of legend. When three digits, 790, remind you of someone, that is iconic. That era dies with Ted, but the memories and the voice and the vernacular stay with us. The careers of Mitch Melnick and Elliot Price and Paul Grafe and Earl Zuckerman and Norman Marshall, all imprinted indelibly with the influence of Ted Teeven. My life is forever better for having listened to Ted, for having known Ted, for having, along with Dickie Moore, brought Ted back to the city where Ted wanted to work and where Ted wanted to die, and for having shared the mic with Ted on so many occasions, and for having answered his phone calls too many times with the knowledge that there was no five-minute call with Ted. I have a message on my phone which says, "Please don't leave me a voicemail. Text me or send me an email, and I'll get right back to you." One person consistently ignored that message. "Young Frank, I don't have SMS. I don't have email. For Christ's sake, call me back." Oh, it's Ted Teeven speaking. I didn't need the last part, and I always call Ted back. As a caller, you could wear the badge of honor of having been gunned down on the air, and as a friend, you could wear the badge of being granted a nickname. Count X is here today, and maybe no more famous nicknamed caller exists on the planet. I was Young Frank because he and Ellie think I look like Young Frank Sinatra, another undeserved compliment from Ted. I loved when he called me Young Frank, which he only did in private. And the day after my first son, Dylan, was born, Ted called to congratulate me. I invited Ted to the Bris, and Ted asked me an odd question. "Young Frank, how much does a Bris cost?" I told him, "I don't know, Ted, around 3 G's. And for the last 16 years, he has never uttered my son's name once. Ted asks me every time we speak, "How's 3 G's doing, Garbs?" Ted, on behalf of your fans, fellow broadcasters, those that you've influenced, your friends, we thank you for adopting Montreal, for changing it forever and for the better. We thank you for all the expressions and all the laughs and the thousands of hours of entertainment. I thank you for letting me inside your life to see a man devoted to Ellie, Stacy, and Jay, and for helping me better understand show business and the game of life. Rest in peace, Theodore Oral Teeven. Name mention.